So far today, I've spent many moments making sure I'm speaking to those who may be new to practice. I'd like to ask a question for those who have a long-standing practice now. How many of you who have a long history with meditation are familiar with that place in which you can see that the meditation practice you have has gotten usurped by the conditioned mind? So a way this might take form is you get off the meditation cushion and you hear a voice that says something like, "That was a good meditation because my mind was clear." Or, "Wow, I've been doing this long and I'm this distracted on the cushion. What is wrong with me?" Any of this familiar? Or there's some way in which you have this idea of what your meditation practice is supposed to lead to, and you're always being measured up against how your experience is not that. That's just the conditioned mind being active, doing what it does. From that kind of approach to meditation practice, can you see how anything I do today, which might fall in the realm of cultivating conscious intentions, could get usurped by that same mind? And now we're just trying to set intentions, for example, so that we can be a better person. You know, my meditation practice is going to help me be, bless you. It's going to help me be less reactive, more responsive. Oh, I took that MBSR course. Now I'm more responsive, less reactive. Even my husband says so. So I'm doing well. I'm doing a good job. Now, to be clear, as we practice, we do see changes like that, right? We do have people around us who can probably report, maybe it's a good time for you to go on a meditation retreat. You know? You seem quite different from day to day right now than you do when you come home glowing from these retreats where you recognize that everything is fine and that you're okay and that life's okay. Maybe it's time, can I sign you up? Right? But the confusion over, I experienced that state because I worked hard to get there, is what I'm wanting to kind of point to, clear up before we move through what we're going to do today. So another way to talk about this is, what we're doing together today is not to be incorporated as part of a self-improvement plan by the conditioned mind. Now, your mind's going to want to do that, and that's okay. But I say this so that you can watch out for it, so you can just notice how the mind might get busy with that activity. Is that resonating? Great. One of the things I mention in my book is, you know, the reason self-improvement plans don't work is because there is no separate self to improve. So it's what we're doing today is kind of bypassing all the self-improvement stuff that we do for years and years and years until we realize that there was no separate self to improve. We're just going straight to, let's just hang out in the there's no separate self. These times are urgent. Let's get on our way. Let's stop working on ourselves. Let's remember ourselves instead. Let's stop striving so hard to be who we want to be. And let's return to who we are. That's the focus for today. So one of the phrases I mentioned today was energy follows attention. I said a little bit about it, but it does inform what we're going to be doing. So is there anyone who's up for, I'll call on the Zoom folks this time. Anyone on Zoom want to say a little something about what energy follows attention means to you, or how you've seen that take form in your life? And if there's nothing alive, that's okay. Hmm. Okay, how about anyone in the room? Energy follows attention. And Ken, I can only see hands on the first page. I'm not scrolling through, so I'll just have you unmute someone or unmute yourself if you want to speak and you're on Zoom. Okay, I see Jen's hand. Great. So Jen, would you like to share?
Yeah, so if I get an inspiration for something that calls me to be doing it, and then I put my attention towards it, the energy follows with it, and it sort of takes its own momentum.
Beautiful. Jen, I really appreciate that response, because one of the things you're acknowledging is how it takes its own momentum, right? This is in alignment with what I'm saying about how we don't need to control this. This isn't all up to us. We're resting into something bigger than how we think of ourselves as we move through the conditioned world. I am limited to this body mind, for example. So we're practicing surrendering into something larger than how we're habituated to think about ourselves. So Jen used an example that many would define as positive. You know, I recognize I have a call to this. I put my attention there, energy begins to follow. That's beautiful and true and important. Can anyone give an example? Let's call upon someone in the room. Anyone give an example of what you might think of as the shadow side of that or the negative of that? Energy follows attention. Yes, Jay.
When I think about it, sometimes.
Can I hand
Jay,
you
Jay, I just realized, thank you, Adam. We'll want the Zoom people to hear you.
Yeah, I think sometimes, and I know I do, I fall into a pattern of not really having a voice. And so in a meditation practice, I can at times provide energy to something that I'm not waiting on somebody else to kind of give approval for. And so that's a pattern of mine. And I think meditation kind of wakes me up to that a bit, that I can, like a very mundane example is selling my home. I can decide what color the color of the paint or whatever else. I can move on that type of thing. So.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. So Jay's pointing out something important. We can, with this principle of energy follows attention, we can pay attention to however we're conditioned to be, how we're habituated to be. I might be habituated to not speak up in certain circumstances. And so I can challenge that, because if I'm conditioned to not speak up, my energy, my life force is going to follow that conditioning. And so I'll get in situations and it won't even occur to me to speak up. I went to dinner last night, the person who's hosting me for this experience, and I've known her for years through the meditation community. And she pointed out at dinner, just based on how I ordered, she said, you're really good at asking for what you want, because she's known me for years, but she's never reflected that back to me. And I was realizing that one of the things she was doing in that moment is she was revealing that she's conditioned to not necessarily ask for what she wants. So whatever comes on the table is whatever comes. And who is she to speak up and say, that's not what I ordered, or I would like something different, right? So we're looking at how we're conditioned in this setting so that we can see how our energy or life force is following those conditioned grooves. How many of you had the experience before of waking up to, it always seems to go this way for me, whatever the this way is, and then realizing that that's what helped you reveal that you've just been following a program? You might not have even thought of it as a program before, but you've been following a program. I'm not someone who should. Or I'm from a cultural context in which we should not. Right? Folks with me so far? Okay, good. So what we're focusing on here is paying attention to these conditioned habits, these conditioned grooves. We're challenging them lovingly in this context, so that those conditioned habits and grooves aren't veiling our true nature. When we're stuck in the conditioned habit or groove, can you feel how true nature is veiled or can feel hard to access. We're bringing attention to what tends to veil, what tends to get in the way.